had answered them well, asked him, "Which is the first commandment of all?" And Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord.'"
Amen. Praise the Lord.
"And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul,
yes,
with all thy mind and with all thy strength. And this is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, 'Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself.' There is none other commandment greater than these." And the scribe said unto him, "Well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but He. And to love Him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself, is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, "Thou art not far from the kingdom of God." And no man after that durst ask him any question. Jesus answered, when he saw that he answered discreetly, he said to him, "Thou art not far from the kingdom." And Jesus answered and said, while he taught in the temple house, say the scribes that Christ is the Son of David. And David himself said, "By the Holy Ghost, the Lord said to my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool." David therefore himself calleth him Lord, and whence is he then his son? And the common people heard him gladly. And he said unto them in his doctrine, "Beware of the scribes, which love to go in long clothing, and love salutations in the marketplaces, and the chief seats in the synagogues, and the uppermost rooms at feasts, which devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. These shall receive greater damnation." I want to talk to you this afternoon about getting a little closer. There are many things that keep us from crossing the threshold into the kingdom of God. And most of the time we're so full of ourselves that we cannot possibly be close enough to God to begin to understand Him and what He has for us and what He wants to do in our lives. I've often said to people that have come to me trying to find the will of God, and I've asked them the question, "Are you close enough to God to know what His will is?" There are many people that were gathering around Jesus in Mark chapter 12. Great crowds of people were gathering around Him as He spoke and as He preached and as He did great things before them, debating with Him and asking Him all sorts of questions to try to trip Him up. We studied about the temptations of Christ. Don't you know you can't trip God up?
That's right.
The Bible says we should lay aside the weights and the sins that so easily trip us up. The word beset means to trip up. There are things that keep us from getting to God. Many things keep us from the presence of God. And I'm not just talking about busyness and jobs and Although jobs keep us out of the presence of God, out of the house of God, that's not what's actually keeping us from the presence of God. There are things that are buried deep in the heart of man. There are things that are broken inside of men and women and humanity. There are things that have been rusted out and things that no longer work. And there are spiritual connections and engines that no longer can be made. We had to replace our heater for our baptistry last year. And it just smoked a little bit. I don't exactly remember what happened, but one way or another, it quit working. Well, come to find out, the seal was broke on it, and it had been collecting moisture. And when I took the electrical casing apart, it was completely saturated with water. There were droplets of water hanging on the inside of the case, and all of the wires were completely corroded with rust. And it had finally shorted itself out. And there was no way, there was no transformer, there was no fuse to replace. I mean, it was shot. And sometimes we, as human beings, we look for things and we search for things. James said in chapter 4, he said, "Where do wars and fightings among you, where do they come from? Don't they come from your lusts that war in your members?" And he said, "You lust and you don't have anything. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not, because you ask not, and you ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it on your lust. You adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." I want to get closer to the Lord. Sometimes I don't know how. I want to get closer to the Lord, but sometimes I don't know where to start. I want to understand Him and know Him better, but there are things, oftentimes, there are things, there are lusts, there are desires that I have that Paul said in Romans chapter 7, there is a war going on in my body. Can I get an amen from somebody? There's a war going on in my body. And the devil is throwing lies and questions at me. And I've got questions of my own. And there's a wrestling back and forth about what God is and who He is and what He really cares about and doesn't care about. And I'm so wrapped up sometimes in myself and my own needs and my own desires that I just can't seem to make my way to where Jesus is. It seems like all these things are standing between He and I. And it seems as though in the parable of the rich man Lazarus that died, the poor man Lazarus that died and the rich man that died. The Bible says that the rich man woke up in hell, but Lazarus woke up being comforted by Abraham. And he began to converse, this rich man, back and forth with Abraham. And he wanted so much to be comforted. But Abraham said, no matter how hard you want to be comforted, no matter how hard and how much of a desire that I may have to come down there and comfort you, I cannot get to you and you cannot get to me, because there is a gigantic chasm between us. Sometimes it seems like there is a great chasm between us and God. And I want to tell you what the chasm is today. That chasm is our lusts. That chasm is our desires. That chasm is our flesh and our own desires and wants and lusts. And we want things and we desire things and we crave things. And they come in between us and God. These people here that were talking to Jesus, they were debating with Him about all sorts of things. They were standing in the presence of the Messiah. They were so close to Jesus that they could talk to Him and have a conversation with Him. That they could converse back and forth with Him. But for some reason, everything that He said fell upon deaf ears. For some reason, everything that He did fell upon blind eyes. And for some reason, all of the things that he said fell upon a dark and a twisted heart that could not possibly begin to comprehend. I just wonder today how you are and what situation that you are in. God is calling us closer to Him. God is calling us to get closer to Him. God wants to do things in our lives. God wants to work miracles in our midst. God wants to do things, pour out blessings, answer prayers. But there's a separation line. There are things that are keeping us from getting closer to Him. And I believe the Lord is calling the church today to look inside of themselves, to look inside of their hearts and say, maybe it's not the pastor that's keeping things from moving and shaking and rocking around here. Maybe it's not this one or that one that's preventing what I want to see happen in the spiritual realm. Maybe it's me. Maybe there's something in my life that God wants to change in order so that I can become the man of God that God called me to be. In order that I can become the woman of God that God called me to be. What is keeping me from getting closer to Him? What lies has the enemy planted in my soul? What belief systems and book theologies and my own ideas that I have twisted and forced into the kingdom of God and into the Word of God that is preventing me from clearly seeing the pure power and truth of God's Word in Jesus Christ? Oh God, I want to get closer to You. I wonder if your prayer this year is, God, I want to get closer to You than I've ever been before in my life. I can remember days in the past, when people were filled with the Holy Ghost standing right in front of this podium. And I can remember days when the saints of God were shouting and running the aisles and some were crying. I can remember the times of tongues and interpretations. I can remember the days when things were so powerful in the Spirit of God. But somehow an attack of the enemy came in. Somehow a lie of the devil crept in to my mind and my heart. Somehow a fiery dart penetrated through the shield of faith. I was not able to defend myself. And somehow through the blessed breastplate of righteousness, a fiery dart was shot into my soul. And somehow I seemed to have drifted away from the presence of the Lord. Where I once felt His glorious power all over me, when I once was so free to give Him all of myself, now it seems like that a wedge has been driven between the two of us. Oh God, how can I get back to those places that I used to be? Oh God, how can I find myself once again in the rapture and the glory of Your presence? Oh God, how can I find my way back to a passion and a zeal and a holy ambition to reach out to a lost world and shine the light of the good news of God in the face of Jesus? Oh God, how can I find my way back? I want to get closer to You again. I want to get back with You again. Like in the nation of Israel, these Jews, they were great men. They knew the Bible like the back of their hands. The Bible says they wore it as frontlets between their eyes. They literally had some kind of a garb. And nowadays people wear jewelry on their necks. And they wear jewelry on their arms and their hands. And they're poking holes everywhere in their body and doing this and doing that. Well, the Jews said they were so involved in the Word of God. They had such an understanding that they would literally take the Word of God. And the Bible says that they would wear it as frontlets between their eyes, that when they walked around, they would actually have something with some kind of a decoration with the word of something. Maybe Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 4 here. Oh Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And they would have it actually hanging right between their front eyes. And there were other things when they walked into the house. They would have again the Shema. They would have it here. Oh Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Before they walked into the doors of their house, there was a little cove amen, in the entryway, and there was a list of the Ten Commandments, and they would reach in and touch it before they walked into the house. And even in our modern times, you look at many religions such as like the Catholic Church, you see that they walk into their buildings and into their sanctuaries, and they give honor, and they kneel down, and they bow, and they show so much respect. But we have come to a place, and we have got to a place where the Jews were. And Jesus said, and he quoted it to the prophet Isaiah, he said, "These people draw nigh to me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." We can be so close to God, and yet so far away. I want to get closer to you, Jesus. I don't want to pray prettier prayers and preach prettier sermons. I don't want to wear prettier clothes and get all smart and fancy. I don't want the world to think this or that of me. God, I just want to get closer to you again. Do you want to get closer to the Lord today? Did you come here just to show off? Did you come here just to feel something good? Or did you come here to get closer to Jesus? Somebody complained to me the other day. They said, "You know, every time I go to church over there at your church to hear you preach, he said, you're never the one in the pulpit preaching." And I told him the other day, I said, "The reason why I'm never the one preaching when you go when you want to go is because God doesn't like it. He doesn't like it that you're going down to that church to hear me preach. He wants you to come to church because you want to meet with Him, because you want to see Him, because you want to worship Him. We've got to get some things out of our lives. We've got to get our desires and our passions and our priorities right." This man and all these people are debating and arguing with Jesus about money and paying taxes. We're worried about all kinds of things. And they was arguing, debating with him about what's it going to be like when we die. What's it going to be like on the other side? And then there was one said, "What is the greatest commandment?" He had been standing to the side. He had been listening. And I'm preaching to that person today. You're standing on the sidelines. You're watching people do this, and you're watching people say that. But in your heart, you are hungry for more than that. You don't want a good debate or an argument. You're not interested in showing and your flowery prayers. You really want to know what the truth is. You really want to please God. You really want to get closer to Him. You're questioning in your heart. This man questioned Jesus, and he said, "What is the greatest commandment?" And Jesus said, "The greatest commandment is you have to love God." And once you have got that figured out, you have got to love your neighbor. And Jesus said, "There are no greater commandments than these." Everything in heaven and in earth, all of the whole entire law of Moses and the whole entire Bible and Word of God rests on these and swings on these two hinges. Love God and love your neighbor. And this man's, his heart was so hungry, and he said, "Thou hast said well," because he said there is nothing else than loving God and loving your neighbor. And if you love God, this man said to Jesus, and love your neighbor, then all the sacrifices that have ever been made, that are being made, and ever will be made, are not greater, and don't even begin to cast a shadow and a reflection of those two laws. And Jesus looked at him and he said, "You are getting closer. You're getting warmer. You are close to the kingdom of God." Some of you in this building, under the sound of my voice today, you are searching for more than religion. You are searching for more than denomination. You are searching for a deeper walk, a deeper experience. And I'm here to tell you today, God is more than ready to give it to you.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Just got to remove the things that stand between you and God ruthlessly and tirelessly and with a razor sharp focus. You have got to start cleaning out the junk that is in your life.
Right. Amen.
James goes on and he says, do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? Now there is no scripture that says that in those exact words. James distills something down for us. He says, God is a jealous God. And He will not share His glory with anybody else. And He is jealous for us. Jealous. And He so deeply desires to be closer to us. You have no idea how deep the love of God is for you. I have said this before and I'll say it again. The Lord spoke to me. And asked me in a prayer one time. He said, how much do you love your children? And I said, God, I love my children greatly and deeply. Would do anything for them. And He said to me, I love you more than that. We cannot begin to understand the depths of the love of God. Amen. In the sacrifice of Christ on Calvary. That God desires to be in relationship with us. God wants to get closer to us. God wants to draw us to Himself. That's why He sent His Son. And then the Bible says that God was in Christ reconciling or bringing back the world to Himself. God is always trying to get closer to us. But the things that we love and the things that we lust after are always trying to keep us away. So how am I going to get closer to Him? How am I going to find myself in a close relationship with Him like my soul and my spirit truly desires? The relationship that God desires to have with me. James goes on and he says, He giveth more grace. God resists the proud, but gives grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. I want to get closer to the Lord. But in order to get closer to the Lord, I'm going to have to get closer to the floor. Hallelujah. In order to be closer to the Lord, I'm going to have to do some cleaning out. I'm going to have to get rid of some things. I'm going to have to change some things. Because when you take a step to the Lord, He's ready to take a step to you. When you get closer to Him, He'll get closer to you. How do I get closer to Him? You humble yourself. How do I humble myself? You get on your face on the floor and you say, God, I need You. God, I can't do anything without You. God, I am nothing but an unprofitable slave in Your kingdom. I am not worthy to be called Your son. We've got to get on our face and cry out to God as Isaiah did when he saw a vision of the Holy God in heaven. And he said, oh, I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of an unclean people. We need to get down on our faces like Nehemiah in the Old Testament. When he began to cry and he began to foam and he began to be sorrowful and heavy and sob. Oh God, we have left you. Oh God, we have turned our backs on you and we have lost our way and gone so far from you. Oh God, will you have mercy on us, on a people who are stiff-necked, on a people who are proud, on a people who are full of lust and sins. Oh God, we have erred so greatly. Oh, have mercy and bring us back into a fellowship with you. Oh God, help us. We've got to be like Daniel the prophet, a beautiful man of God, a holy man of God that refused the king's meat, that refused the king's wine, that stood for what was right, and that saw great visions and apocalyptic things of the future. And he cried out to God, oh, have mercy on us, a sinful people. I don't care how long and how fancy and how complex you can speak in tongues. I don't care if it could raise the hackles on the back of a porcupine. I'm here to tell you, if you don't love God and you don't love your neighbor, you are wasting your time and God's time. Hallelujah. It's time that we begin, amen, all over again. It's time that we start all over again. It's time that we clear away all of the junk and the garbage and the rubbish and say, God, give us a clean start. Daniel didn't get in the prayer closet and say, oh God, you know, everybody else has been turning their backs on you, but I've been faithful to you. He didn't get in the prayer closet and say, God, what a great Jew I have been. What a true Israelite I am. He didn't say anything like that. He said, God, I am a sinner and we are sinful people and we need your mercy like we never have before. I want to get closer to him. You need to get closer to the floor. You need to find a place for your face in the floor. And you need to begin to say, God, I am nothing without you. God, what can I do without you? Oh, Moses could have been great and powerful. He called down plagues from heaven. He opened up and parted the Red Sea and struck the rock which brought water for millions of people. An untold number of livestock and animals. He called down and manna from heaven fell to feed the people. Ah, the ground opened up and swallowed his enemies and adversaries. Oh, but his word was this. God, if you don't go with me, I'm not going anywhere. God, if you don't go with us, then there's no point in taking the first step. The Bible says this about Moses. He was the meekest man on earth. And when people came against him and got in his face and said, who do you think you are, Moses? The Bible says when their mouths were open in accusation and Moses fell on his face. You want to get closer to God? Take the example of Moses. You want to get in face-to-face communication with the Lord Jesus Christ? Take the example of Moses. He was the meekest man on the earth. That's why Jesus, in his first sermon on the mount, as he began to postulate and as he began to exposit the scriptures, no doubt in the back of his mind, he was thinking of Moses when he said, the meek shall inherit the earth. Why? Because when I humble myself under the mighty hand of God, he will exalt me in due time. You want to get closer to him, you need to get closer to the floor. You want to get closer to Jesus. Oh, how many of you know what I'm talking about today? How many of you know on your face before God? I've been on my face before God. I've been on my hands and knees before God. Oh, yes, I have I've humbled myself in fastings and prayers. And I'm here to tell you today that we serve a God that is close. He is very, very close. The Apostle Paul said, in Him we live and we move and we have our being. There is a soul that God gave that He desires to commune with. He is ever just a prayer away. He is ever just a moment of contrition and humility away. I'm here to tell you today that there is a powerful release of the Holy Ghost that can await, is waiting to be released. And God is ready to get closer to you today. All you need to do is take one little itty bitty baby step towards Him. Oh, you may wobble around and you may have to hold on to something, and you may just begin to slide down the wall that you're holding on to and hit your head and your poor little noggin on the coffee table, and you may come up with a black eye and a big knot between your eyes and your forehead. Oh, but I'm here to tell you, we have a loving Father that on your way down, He's going to reach His hand out and catch you. On your way down, that God who is our refuge and our strength and a very present help in the time of trouble is going to come in and meet your need and be right there when you need Him. The righteous cry, David said in Psalm chapter 34. Some say that this is a psalm that David wrote. Let's all stand together. Some say that David wrote this psalm after he feigned himself to be mad in front of the Philistine king Abimelech. And so he escaped. And he wrote this psalm as an acrostic against the alphabet, the Hebrew alphabet. Each verse, each line for a letter in the alphabet. And he says in Psalm 34, verse 17, the righteous cry and the Lord hears.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Yeah, hallelujah. God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. And He delivers them out of all of their troubles. And the Lord is nigh. Everybody say nigh. That means close. The Lord is close. Everybody say close. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth and rescueth those who are of a contrite spirit.
Amen.
Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, and not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. But the Lord redeemeth the soul of His servants, and none of them that trust in Him shall be desolate. It's time to get closer to Him. How many of you have been enjoying our adult Bible class? Those of you that have put it in your schedule to be here, we've been getting into some meat. We've been wrestling with some difficult theological topics, and we've been learning some things. And by the end of every Sunday school class, I feel like a stick of dynamite is about to explode inside my chest. I'm just having such a good time learning and studying more about Jesus. And then coming in here and you all worshiping the way that you do. Having our worship leaders and our musicians and our singers been doing such a fantastic job. Oh, haven't you been enjoying the presence of Jesus this year? Oh,